Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, good afternoon.
Spiegel & Company.
We're Spiegs.
I'm right here.
Afternoons on the Score.
Dan Wiederer is here at Spiegel & Company. Look, Shane is great at analogies. He might be the best analogy guy we've ever had. But Mike Tomlin, the Steelers coach, went with another analogy, and I'm told that we need to get Shane's ruling on this one.
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
So that's on how they decide who gets a game ball.
None of your businesses, respectfully.
It's a hard hat holidays, respectfully.
Respectfully. That's a great analogy.
It's a great soundbite.
I mean,
too.
I eat probably 4 hot dogs a week. Yeah. I'm a big hot dog, no bun guy.
Soxley, give me a hot dog.
Like all beef hot dog. I just like to cut it up with a little bit of mustard.
Yeah, you should try it on the bun. It's even better.
I mean, sometimes you don't push carbs on me.
It looks a little different than when you're up in a press box having hot dogs.
I've never watched How It's Made about hot dogs.
How about the gourmet here? You know what he wanted? Hot dogs.
Okay.
You know they make those things out of Chet? You know? Lips and balls.
I guess I'm old fashioned. I like old.
I did mistakenly watch the one about cold cuts.
You know what they say? Revenge is like serving cold cuts.
I think it's revenge is a dish best served cold.
So what I say?
I saw bologna being made.
Uh-oh.
It was scary. And let me say, seeing that How It's Made about bologna, that put me off bologna for like almost 3 months. You know what I mean?
That's
no.
She may be a vegetarian, but she's still full of bologna in my book.
Spiegel & Company.
Nobody get that phone. We got company.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Oh, my God. The Hot Diggity Dog song from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. That just made my day. What up, everybody? It is Spiegel & Company. The company is you. Today, you are the company. And as always, Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill are the company. We were in each other's company for most of the day, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But boy, it's nice to be here. Hope you are well. What a lovely, lovely day in Chicago as September rolls on, pretending it's August. Just freaking remarkable. I don't know how much longer this is going to go. I say forever. Let's just let it keep going forever, shall we? The Bears practiced, the Bears talked, and not all the Bears practiced. We'll get the latest on everything, the injury report and everything that Caleb Williams had to say, that Matt Eberflus had to say. DJ Moore talked, Nate Davis said things, Braxton Jones said things, and Mark Grody will bring all of it to us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour in just about 10 minutes. Looking forward to that. There is a Bears headline of note, if you don't know, and that's that there are going to be no changes to the offensive line. None at all. Great. Okay, good. Thank you. Oh, God. Every single one of them was so bad, and we're greeted by that news today. Yep, Not gonna change anything. Also, not gonna change the challenge situation, the way they deal with that, the way they talk about it. Nope. We like our process.
That video that was going viral on Twitter today of Nate Davis missing the block at the first level, then getting to the second level, and then missing a block at the second level.
Now, that was everywhere.
Sucks.
Yeah, that was everywhere yesterday as well. I didn't realize it went viral today. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a really good one. If you're trying to make a point about Nate Davis, that's the video to go with. The broader point on him, sadly, is this. He got paid and he cares less. I'm sorry to set it down to the lowest base level. But folks, you ever met anybody in your walk of life? Have you ever seen anybody on a team ever in your life who gets paid and then cares less? Oh, we've seen it a lot. We've seen it plenty. And that's what's happening there with good old Nate. But we'll talk about all of that in a bag of chips with Mark Grody. What bag of chips should we talk about with him? How about Cool Ranch Doritos?
I've been really high on the sweet chili Doritos, the purple bag. I had one today.
You got me some a couple of weeks ago.
Very good
chips. You brought some in. You brought in some jalapeno popper Cheetos.
Yeah.
Which were pretty darn good.
Also love the spicy dill pickle Miss Vicky.
Yeah,
that's my favorite bag of chips of all time.
I'm a no on that.
Well, to me, it begins and ends with the Utz brand crab chip, the Old Bay flavored potato chip from
what?
Utz.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves fish that tastes chips that taste like fish.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's great.
That's a bad faith argument from the guy who cooks. You should know, Old Bay doesn't taste like fish.
But
you should know that.
Oh, let me hang around with something that tastes like fish without the protein of the fish itself. Like, what are we doing here?
No,
what's
productive.
The idea? No. Tanny, you should try those new tofu chips. You'd really like those.
I've been eating a lot of tofu lately. Hey, I'm going to tell you.
Tofu can be good.
I'll say it.
Tofu can be good. And how about seitan or Satan? Are you into Satan?
Well, I think it's called Satan.
Whatever.
Yeah, Satan.
It should be called Satan.
I don't eat that, but I eat tofu.
You should eat more Satan.
Your body needed warning for people out there.
My body?
Anybody. Warning for anyone who wants to start eating tofu.
Yeah.
Do it when maybe your wife or girlfriend's out of town for a little while,
mm-hmm.
because it's a very soybean-based protein.
Yeah.
Your body needs some time to adjust what's going to come out of it and when you start eating
Hold
tofu.
Hold on. You know, as much as I love all soy-based protein radio content.
Yeah, no, as you should.
I love that.
It's good leading into the five. All the radio metrics prove that.
I mean, on a commuter day.
The only thing that make it better is if we did it in Spanish, you know, because then we could beat Wojo with our soy-based protein radio content. Let's say this. I think if you lose 2 out of 3 to Oakland at home in September when you're still alive in the playoffs, you should be able to just end your season right then. Just right then. My goodness. That is a very disappointing series outcome for a team holding on with the last dregs of their playoff dreams. We were there today. It was a beautiful day to be at Wrigley Field. That's a very nice ballpark. It's a nice place to hang out. And, you know, don't you guys agree?
Thankfully, you said it. Someone needed to say.
Somebody finally
nice
needed to
Wrigley
say.
Field is.
That's a nice ballpark when the sun is
Thank
out
God.
As it was today. And a day game, it's a lovely thing to be at. I got to say, today there was a celebration. It's a celebration on the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon that was helmed by noted FS1 personality Craig Carton just a few weeks back. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Danny Parkins. I get that wrong all the time. But, you know, the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon was a wonderful thing, and Danny worked his ass off on it. And the whole thing, the Cubs portion and then the Radiothon portion, all combined to raise more than $1 million. And today, many people were on the field to be honored. Several people working with BrainUp, people working with the Rolf Pancreatic Institute, Pancreatic Cancer Institute. I talked with them a little bit during the game. And also there was Mitch Rosen. And to be honored on behalf of all the producers who worked so hard on the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon, Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill were honored on the field at Wrigley today.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was freaking great. And I was able to go and be a third wheel with you guys. And I was down there on the field to see you guys honored. And it was just awesome. I tweeted a picture of those boys. And then when it came time for the big picture to be taken and some of the video to be taken, Mitch Rosen was over there. Somebody had said, would you like to come over and be in the picture? I said, no. Then Mitch waved me over. So I was able to be a part of it, too. I felt a little sheepish. I wanted you guys to have your moment. But it ended up being very nice to be a part of that. Just good vibes, babe, is what I'm saying.
We did it for Danny. As we did for 4 years, everything we did was for Danny. So we did it out there today to make sure that Danny felt good about this.
We sent him a ridiculous video of you two and Mitch and Sue Schwartz from Stand Up to Cancer all mugging for the camera.
Yeah.
And Danny really appreciated it, said he got a big laugh out of it.
And Danny sussed it out right away. Like, that's a Mitch idea if I've ever seen one.
Mitch tried to FaceTime him. Mitch tried to FaceTime him from the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all had our warm sentiments. Oh, some people said, Danny, we miss you. Some people said, Danny, we love you. I just said, Danny, you're in New York, you know? So that's all the emotions I had for the lad at that particular moment.
Danny and I, speaking of that, Danny and I had a little phone call yesterday, and the first thing he said was when I called him was, I'm walking down 9th in Manhattan right now. Sorry if it's a little loud.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Needed that.
By the way, his tweet today about Adrian Wojnarowski's retirement is, oh, chef's kiss.
We love him. We love Danny. We love him. And real quick, Speaks, but setting up the show here.
Yeah, we are setting up the show.
We also have Tom Segura tickets again today.
Well,
and we also have a few tickets to give away to Mullion Hawes' show with Billy Donovan.
Shane, I can handle that stuff.
I just wanted to make
sure. I can
sure.
do it.
Sometimes.
No, it feels like you don't think that I can. I'm sorry. I don't like this feeling of being doubted by my own friends who I was just there to associate with.
And I said, what about Breakfast with Billy?
What about?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Said, what about
folks?
Breakfast with Billy?
Keep listening to your chance to be a part of a live studio audience from Mullion Hawes' September 25th broadcast from 5:30 to 10 a.m. at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Mullion Hawes will be joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan in studio during the 8 a.m. hour that morning. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. And folks, you may have heard something about this, but let me be clear. We've got a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura at the United Center on March 1st of 2025 to give away. You just have to be the sixth caller to our contest line at 312-540-0670 when you hear this.
I am so impressed that you put that together so quickly. I can see why you may or may not be Ted Cruz. And then I walk away. Oops.
Oops. So when you hear that, be caller 6 to the contest line at 312-540-0670.
And for the Billy, when you hear this...
Can we have hard conversations?
Yes. Yes, we can. We sure can. That's I pride ourselves on that. On having... Oh, I'm sorry. When you hear that...
He can do it, Shane. He can do it.
He can do it. He was disrespected that we thought we had to do it.
Uh-huh.
He can do it.
Well, there's nothing on the sheet that says call or anything like that. If you want them to call?
That's okay.
It doesn't say that's it.
That's okay. Same thing for the other one.
Oh, okay. Well, you might want to type that
yes,
up.
Yes, I know.
You might want to type that
Shane
up.
Shane can do it, Spreeks.
I can do it.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
I can do it.
I don't think you can. So what callers should they be to the contest line when they hear that?
Whatever caller I decide. Sixth.
Might want to let me know so I know. Be the sixth caller to the contest line when you hear that at 312-540-0670. And you can win the tickets to go see Mullion Hawes on the 25th of September. Look, kudos to the Wrigley Field organist, Josh Langhoff. Okay? It's all right. Because when Shea Langeliers comes to bat, he played Sia Swing from the Chandeliers. And I don't know whether he's a listener or whether he just had the same thought, but every time I see that guy, I like to sing a big home run swing from Shea Langeliers. He's a damn good catcher, folks.
You know what Bernstein said today?
What did he say?
He said that he can't help but think of this song every time he comes up to bat.
Really?
I don't know where he heard such a thing.
I don't know. Maybe from me. Maybe for me, but far be it from Dan to take something you heard from anybody and make it his.
I cannot stop thinking about that Sia song.
What's the
Chandeliers?
Wine? What's the wine company?
Cameron
a
Hughes?
Big, yeah. Yeah. From Shea Langeliers.
I don't know if you guys caught this. But it sounds like Shea Langeliers. Is Sia a baseball fan?
Uh-huh. I think she might be. She absolutely might be.
But if her hair hangs in front of her eyes. How does she see it?
Is now a good time to congratulate the Milwaukee Brewers for winning their third National League Central title in the last 4 years.
That would be good. They just did it today, right? Not a month from now. I guess you're going to do it. I guess today is the best
really,
day.
They really, really just did it today. The freaking Brewers, man, with their Brewers devil magic. Nah, they're just really good at drafting and developing and scouting, and they've got a good holistic system. They are efficient because they have been forced to be so, and boy, they're really damn good as an organization, and they've done it again with a batch of young players. As Cliff Floyd said during the year, they are a button-up team.
They're unbuttoned today, celebrating.
Man, enjoy themselves. I hope they are enjoying themselves. They deserve it. I don't like it. In other news, Craig Kimbrell's been designated for assignment. Maybe that makes you feel better. Didn't really work for me either. It's 670 The Score. I am Matt Spiegel. This is Spiegel & Company. Let's get the latest on the Bears from our dear friend Mark Grody.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears football. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station. The
Score! Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score.
And this segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. Mark Grody does a phenomenal job covering the Bears, gathering the sound, asking the questions, and delivering it to you at 5 o'clock on days that the Bears speak and practice. And he joins us right now on the Circa Resort Hotline, Circa Resort Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What up, Groats?
Speaks, how you doing, man? I think we're in that odd predicament as those of us who cover the Bears, those listening that are fans of the Bears, observers, whatever your relationship is to the Bears, we've had this feeling so many times through the years of, yeah, the Bears won the Bears are 1-1 to start the season, but it kind of feels like they're 0-2 just because, as usual, the offense isn't working. The defense is doing great things, Speaks, but the offense just seems to be on low volume, which makes it feel really bad.
Without a doubt, the redundancy of the feelings has made it worse, and the fact that they were in that game against a very good team on the road on a Sunday night, but they were in it with a chance with a .137 left and could not get it done. And all of that adds up to make it feel worse than it is. Such is the roller coaster of the NFL, Mark.
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, honestly, like after the first win, as the week went on, I kept having it in my head that they actually lost the game. That's just the way it felt, and that's the demand and that's the panic that exists when you don't have offense. And we know the biggest issue this past week, or at least appeared to be, we've been talking about it, was the offensive line. And something that Matt Eberflus kept on saying was, whenever we asked him the question, we'll hear from Flus in just a little bit, but the question of what has gone wrong with the offensive line, he kept coming back to communication. So when Caleb Williams came to the podium today, I asked Caleb Williams about his part in the apparent miscommunications along the line and how culpable he is.
Yes, I'm always involved in communication issues because it starts with me in the center first. And then throughout the game a few times, clock got kind of low, and I was on a different cadence. Not on a different cadence than the offensive line, but I was on a cadence that I didn't want or shouldn't have used, you know, when the clock being that low. And obviously, you know, you get the call in the huddle, you're in the huddle for however long, and then you get up there and you're like, you already called your cadence. And so trying to change the cadence at the line instead of using, you know, some of our tools that we have, I think that comes with, you know, time. I think that comes with obviously more communication, you know, for myself, and using the tools that I have to be able to get the ball off, even if I'm on a, you know, a cadence that may, you know, be a little bit longer.
Good. Point the thumb. Comfortably so. It's all right. You're a young quarterback. We get it. If this stuff is still happening after a month or 5 weeks or 6 weeks, then there'll be a lot more concern. But in the first couple of weeks, a rough game on the road, it does not freak me out. I feel like, Grody, for anybody who's just getting in their car or anybody who needs to know, who hasn't been following the news, we should make sure they know the news of the day, the backdrop of the whole thing, which is that there are not going to be changes to the offensive line. We'll hear from the coordinators tomorrow. We'll hear what Shane Waldron is going to change. It's good to hear Caleb be accountable, but the offensive line in terms of personnel is going to remain the same.
Well, that is true. However, a little concern that things might change, actually, Speaks, because Tevin Jenkins did not practice today. He's got a deep thigh bruise. I didn't even see him, Tevin, in the locker room today. Obviously, Oof. He's not been officially ruled out yet. So if Tevin Jenkins can't go, it would probably be Matt Pryor, who we saw a lot of in training camp and in the preseason, so it's not like he comes in completely cold. But that is the latest concern for the Bears, that Jenkins is out. So we'll see, man. We'll see it. I mean, there could be a change, and they don't want it on the offensive line this week.
Man, it's craziness as we try to dig in and figure out what the problems are with the offense. Some very, very familiar storylines and dissection. What else did you get from Caleb that you thought was interesting, Mark?
Yeah, you know, Caleb, did a lot of stuff from Caleb today, but the other cut that I chose was, because I think I've said this, I think a lot of people say, because it's easy to say things like, Caleb Williams is going to have to realize that, you know, he can't get away with doing the things he did in college and at USC. He's not going to be able to get away with that stuff in the NFL. It just seems like common knowledge and something we just throw at Caleb Williams, but he was wisely asked that question. And is that true, that there are things that you're not going to get away with at the NFL level?
No, play your game, play within the way that we need to play, the way that I need to play for the offense, be efficient and, you know, make less mistakes, each week. Don't make the same mistake over and over.
So it's interesting. So he didn't want to acknowledge the difference in athleticism that everyone has been talking about all week. You're not the best athlete in the field anymore, young man. He didn't really want to go there.
Yeah, no, he didn't want to go there. He's not ready to say that he can't do the things that he did in college at the pro level. And I get it, because a lot of the reason that this man was drafted number one overall and that we use the word generational to describe his talent is because of the stuff that he did in college and in high school. So I thought it was a good question. I also thought it was a good answer on Caleb's part, because, man, I mean, nobody wants to, especially a star college player, wanted to admit that they're not going to be able to get away with stuff. So that, I mean, I think that's like a good point to take the deep breath and again say, I still think this guy's going to be fantastic. Like, I think it's still, like, I haven't backed off an inch on any of what I've said about Caleb Williams, and I think he's going to be a star. It was a rough game. I mean, I know he started well, but unfortunately, we can't just dwell on the first quarter. The rest of the game was pretty rough for Caleb Williams and for the offensive line. A lot of this is understandable, as you said at the very beginning, Matt. So far, the Bears have played two really good teams in the NFL, and maybe even great teams. So, I mean, I think that part, or no, I shouldn't say Tennessee, I'm more Houston, that could be a really good team. Defensively, Tennessee obviously was. So I think that a lot of things have to be taken into account, but it is what it is. It's been a rough couple of starts.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee has a real good interior of the line with Devondre Sweat and with Jeffrey Simmons. And then the Texans have real good edges. And, you know, it all works when the offensive line is bad and when the schemes are funky and you've got a rookie quarterback who can't understand the blitz stuff. Stacey Dales was terrific this morning, Groats, with Mully and Hall, like she usually is. I think she said that Aziz Al-Shaair blitzed 15 times. 15 times.
Yeah.
And that Jalen Petrie blitzed 11 times. I mean, so this is the classic stuff. This is middle linebacker and nickelback. Get it blitzing, and Caleb's just going to see it again and again and again. So pressure's on Shane Waldron. Pressure's on Chris Morgan. Adjust, and pressure's on Caleb.
And Matt, if I may, and you.
Oh, please.
Al Shire punched the guy in the face. He punched Roshan Johnson as he's Al Shire pops up. It looked like he was just ready to punch the closest. Whoever's close,
anybody.
I'm going to punch. And Roshan's like, whoa, yeah. I just got punched in the face.
I'm still not over that. He punched a guy in the face.
I'll thump your skull for you.
He punched a guy in the face. He headbutted another guy, and he didn't get kicked out. So, like, a quarter and a half later, he taunted the Bears' sideline for 15 seconds.
Unbelievable. I mean, they let that guy loose in the game. But, no, yeah. Back to your original point. Yeah, I mean, that is the two particularly talented defensive ends, as you said, on that team. But, hey, man, I don't care what Indianapolis has done in their first two games. They're 0-2. They're going to bring big-time pressure on Caleb Williams. Now, the hope is that Indianapolis will be just as much of a sieve as they've been in the running game in the first two games, but you can't – that's not something that you can guarantee. But, yeah, they're going to have to get used to it, and you're right. Shane Waldron and Chris Williams, the offensive line coach, they have to figure this out. They have to – I mean, because they've told us how much they like these individual players, that this is what they are going with for their offensive line, and they have sold everybody on this starting five. Okay, not it's too early to give up, but show us your adjustment. Make this work. Make it so Caleb Williams is not on his butt double digit times in a game.
All right, so what else do we got? You get a chance to get in the locker room, talk to players. They bring players to the podium. What'd they do?
Yeah, we talked to DJ Moore today, and as usual, he was great. He was pointed. He was opinionated. And the cut that I have chosen here is there was a play. We all know the play that I'm about to talk about. It was his frustration in the fourth quarter, a 3rd-and-4 deep ball pass to DJ Moore on the sideline. The pass was a little bit off. Moore could not adjust. He takes his helmet off in frustration on the sideline, and we were dissecting that with DJ Moore today.
Yeah, I shouldn't have shown as much, but it's still part of the game. Like I said, we was one play away from the game changing, and we just couldn't connect. Like, nobody on offense could connect with the one play or get the one play started to get us on track to go up. I mean, it's football. Everybody going to have their ups and downs and frustrations. So.
Is there a reason why you think that you guys couldn't connect on that one play?
I don't know. They was just dialing it up. It was, like, extremely difficult looks to see. Now, I'm not a lineman or a quarterback, so I could see the back end. I don't know what's going on with the front seven.
Why are you saying you showed too much frustration? It was frustrating.
Why? I mean, looking at it, like, I didn't think it was. But until you look at the TV and then it's, like, blown up and, like, and I'm like, all right, that's enough. And then, you know, you could do some self-evaluation. I would say that it was too much.
So that's going to scare you away now from it?
No, it's not.
Your true self?
No, it's not. I just didn't know that it was like every chance the camera got, they caught that angle. Like, I usually sit on the bench like that anyway, so I don't know what that's about, but.
You know, good stuff by you for following up on him self-evaluating. And then he tells you, he gets a little sheepish there towards the end, frankly. But he knows it's a bad look and people will run with that stuff. This is the world we live in, Groat. So, that's interesting. What makes me think about is the C.J. Stroud-Caleb interaction at the end of the game. C.J. Stroud had to address that today in Houston. C.J. Stroud had to address that and say, I wasn't little broing Caleb Williams, wasn't upset about that. No, Caleb was just frustrated by that, you know, in that moment, and, you know, was having a hard time being present in the moment and hearing it. But it's like, this is what happens, is that people will run with things, and then, you know, so DJ Moore, good on him for realizing he can tone it down just a little, and he will cause himself less stress.
I didn't think it was a bad look for DJ Moore, though. I think that was my point. I don't even know if DJ understood where I was coming from when I was asking those follow-ups, because I was asking him, why are you afraid, basically, to admit now that you were frustrated? It's okay. Like, everybody watching, every Bears fan watching was frustrated, and this is the part that I get really bugged by, the fringes, I suppose, of social media. Like, what were people saying, that he was showing up Caleb Williams or something? Like, what was the was that the gist of it?
Yeah, that he was unhappy and that he was going to take a turn towards diva receiver. So that's the
what? Yeah. In that moment, so what? Like he and as DJ Moore went on throughout his press conference, his biggest thing was nobody was making all they needed, and he's right. Somebody needed to make a play. Somebody, whether it was him or Roma Dunze or Caleb Williams or Cole Kmet or whomever.
I think two of them together. I think two of them together. I think Caleb and one of those guys making a play together would have been really cool.
That would have been absolutely fantastic. But I don't like it when players feel like they have to now adjust based on social media or what people like were supposedly saying. Like, he can't be frustrated anymore. That's why I asked him at the end, like, what, you're not going to show your frustration anymore? He's a leader, man.
Yeah,
he's a captain. He's a leader. He's as respected as anybody in that room. If he is getting frustrated, then that's an involuntary real response.
And he's allowed to shake his head at anybody, even God. So who are the Bears? Who are the Bears? What is the identity? Who are they on offense, Rhodes?
Oh, boy. Kids might want to close your ears for this one. Yes, Matt Eberflus was asked about the team's offensive identity.
We're working. Yeah, we're working. You know, so it's we're working, and guys are working in fundamentals, and we're figuring out what we do. Well, you know, it's the second game in our offense, you know, so we're going to figure it out. You know, I believe that we got better last week, you know, in terms of rhythm, timing, passing, distributing the ball to the skill, okay? Now we're working run game, all the other things that come off of that. And like I said, we're a work in progress. And I believe in the coaches, and I believe in the players, and the guys are working to get that done.
Oh, boy.
Seven workings, by the way. Seven workings, and I think in about a 40-second cut. I mean, there's no offensive identity yet.
Taking what they're given. Because we're working for a living.
Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I think actually, didn't Sia remake that song?
I don't believe so. But, you know, maybe he's working for the weekend, like Loverboy. You know? You never know.
Loverboy. Yeah, working for the weekend with the great drum solos.
Yeah, Mike Rito is a jackass, but that's another story.
Really?
I'll tell you some stuff off the air.
Oh, Spiegel, I love your music stories. I do.
It's better
than music songs.
I was going to say, better than music songs. So, all right. Well, look, that's honest from Flus, but it does sound like a defensive head coach who's a little detached from the process.
No, I don't even think it's that. I think it's that I think he's probably more attached than he's ever been. I just think that he would probably be disingenuous to say through two games there is an offensive identity. More like offensive. Doesn't seem like there is much of an identity yet, so I don't know what he was supposed to say. Yeah. My answer
I guess it's
to that
honest.
Question,
I guess it's honest, Mark, isn't it? Really?
It is honest, and I think that, you know, nobody's going to say it, but I think what they wanted their offensive identity to be and probably still want is a wide receiver heavy offense. Yeah, I mean, that's what they showed, right? Like, where's Cole Kmet? Where's the tight end? Like, they wanted to see this thing, and it's been sabotaged a little bit now with Keenan Allen out and Roma Dunze still trying to get a hold of things. You know, he's still figuring things out. So, in essentially, DJ Moore is really the only one of that triumvirate right now who is up to speed, so to speak. So I think that's what they want their identity to be yet, but it's not there, and obviously they're going to let it flow and be organically whatever it might end up being.
Well, Caleb Williams, I know, also said today he thinks they're close on the run game. This is a weekend to get close on the run game against the Indianapolis Colts. Shane Waldron will speak tomorrow, but my goodness, this is a moment to get healthy as an offense and to find that identity as a team that can run the ball. I see Nate Davis's name here. We have a comment. We have a quote from Nate Davis here that you have for us.
Yeah. I mean, this was a rarity. I mean, he does not speak a whole lot. We're always trying to figure out Nate Davis. So what I have done is this is a little bit longer than usual, but again, the circumstances call for it. It's a Q&A, but a little bit over 2 minutes with Nate Davis, the right guard of the Chicago Bears.
Matt Eberflus mentioned several times communication along the offensive line. Can you expand on that? Like, what specifically that means? Is that guy to guy? Is that with Caleb Williams? What about communication?
Us as a group, you know, it was a hostile environment, first time of the season. So just getting
on the same page with things, with communication.
And obviously it's going to be a hostile environment again because you're playing in a dome and we know it's loud there. What do you do this week to make that better? Is it just repetition or how do you go about it?
Yeah, like you just said, repetition. Understanding what's at stake and what comes with it being in a hostile environment. So, next time be ready.
It seemed like at times maybe you guys didn't even know maybe where they were supposed to block and who they were supposed to block. Is that part of the communication?
Oh, no, we just didn't execute correctly. Yeah, we weren't happy. No one likes losing. Just one of those things where we had to take the coaching, understand what we need to do better, and then try to flush it by today and then keep moving.
What's kind of the talk and the debrief when you give up seven sacks and Caleb's under that much pressure?
Yeah, just understanding, what things that we can clean up, things that we can fix, and like I said, to just understand it and then also understand that it's a long season. We can fix those things and keep moving.
With the run game, why hasn't it clicked with you guys through two games?
Just execution on all of us. It takes all 11 of us to do that thing, and we didn't execute correctly.
How much of that is new offense, rookie quarterback, or is it just simple as missed assignments?
Yeah, just simple as it's all on us. It takes all 11 of us.
What do you think when the outside world is like, it's all about the Bears offensive line, that it's all your fault?
Yeah, I mean, we try to worry about the noise too much. We try to keep everything in-house, and like I said, we weren't happy as a group either way because we didn't win, and that's what the goal is. So just trying to reach that, like I said, and then get ready for the Colts this week.
When you guys talk about trying to gel as a unit, is that something that has to happen in actual game action? I mean, in preseason games or in practices, is it just kind of not the same?
No, I mean, every practice, every rep counts for sure. It's just one of those things where, I don't know, I didn't say anything about gel, but just...
communication, I assume, is kind of part of it.
Yeah, like I said, it was just a hostile environment. So, it makes it a little bit more tough. So now we understand what it takes.
What's your offensive identity as a team, or is it something you guys are still trying to figure out?
We're just a team that likes to fight, a team that plays hard, a team that's going to play through the whistle, and it's going to be a long matchup for whoever has to face us.
All right, it's Nate Davis. I'm glad you grabbed that. Glad to hear him. A lot of generalities and platitudes. He did say the execution. And if I may channel the late John McKay, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, when I think about the execution of this offensive line, I'm in favor of it.
That'd be nice. Did he have James Wilder running up the middle?
He sure did.
John McKay?
Sure did. James
Steve
Wilder.
Steve DeBerg.
Good old number 32. Absolutely. So
wow.
The execution was the issue. And when on the sacks that they gave up, that's a little scary. So that's like when Tevin Jenkins has a guy who's about to blitz directly in front of him and just moves towards a triple team that doesn't need to happen in the middle. That's execution. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, even from the very early on in the game on the left side of the Bears offensive line and Braxton Jones trying to block for DeAndre Swift, and he gets stuffed in the backfield, and you're seeing guys whiff over there. So it's individual guys missing their assignments. Now, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, it is going to be up to, because this is going to be an all-year issue. I mean, we knew it. It didn't take a whole lot of insight to think that, oh, Bears have a rookie quarterback, teams are going to be bringing massive pressure. So they have to go into every game, figure out where is the help needed, what personnel do we need, because we don't want our quarterback to get sacked seven times. It's
sure.
A huge, huge adjustment week for the Bears coaching staff.
I sure hope Nate Davis practices a lot, because repetition, if that's what it is, practice is when you do repeat stuff and maybe learn some things. So hopefully Nate can practice a whole bunch. Let's get to more from the offensive line, Mark Grody.
Yeah, one more guy. I just felt like this was a week to bring as many offensive linemen and offensive line insight. So the last cut I have here is Braxton Jones, the left tackle. And his point, I think, the overriding theme of what we were talking about with him is that he does not believe this is a permanent issue for the O-line.
I mean, obviously, looking at the film, I just see that it's a ton of stuff that is fixable. It's nothing that's going to, over the long run, it's this huge problem. I think it's all fixable things in terms of, turning on the film, even from obviously from last Sunday, and just noticing, for me, it's, either not getting off the ball on the correct time, working on that with the center, making sure I'm good. That's a fixable problem. And then just technical things, and having better understanding, being on the same page with my guard and stuff like that. So it's just when I'm looking at the film, trying to get a direct correlation, obviously what's going on, and then going back into the week, I'm working certain things to make sure those are fixed and getting better.
All right. Well, I hope so. I hope so, yeah. Braxton. Hope it is some things that are fixable. Because here we go, man. It's like this is it gets late early when you think you are going to be a competitive team. And so that's one thing. They got to make sure they try and fix this. And the other thing is, like, you don't want to break your quarterback. You don't want to damage your quarterback so much that he develops bad habits. So it's very important that they get this stuff fixed. There should be some urgency in that regard. If they're not going to make changes, then the improvement better happen right away, Mark.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's just not a lot of exact directions the Bears can go here right now in terms of, like, personnel. So that's why I keep on saying, like, it's such a massive weakness for coaching and adjusting, because I know Karan Abagaji, he's not ready yet. Bill Murray, you know, I'm just thinking of the other guys that you see. Larry Borum still in that Bears locker room. Talked about Matt Pryor. So, like, while all of these guys might be really good, they don't know. So that this doesn't feel like a good time to make big changes considering the personnel they have right now.
Mark Grody, I'm told that there is one additional piece of audio.
Yeah,
from
Grody, don't go anywhere. I'm going to CJ Stroud you here. Okay, don't leave
really?
Yet. I know you want to leave. Don't
No, that's okay. This is I got all the time. As long as I'm off by 5:46, I'm good.
Right, you'll be good. You know, sometimes the listeners out there, they know that sometimes we will get audio sent to us for Grody's Bears Report by a third-party source. It happens all the time. You guys know this. In this case, it was sent to us by Chris Emma, who I think you know. You said one time.
My guy.
Some people like Chris Emma. You said it.
I love Chris Emma.
But you know, as you know, Grody asks remarkable questions during these press conferences, but sometimes the best questions are not about what happens on the field. Okay.
Okay. Good to see everybody. You guys doing okay today?
Great.
All right.
How are you?
Good. Doing good. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
One more time, Timmy.
Don't worry. We're going to hear it a good, healthy amount here.
Okay. Good to see everybody. You guys doing okay today?
Great.
All right.
How are you?
Good. Doing good. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
The hesitation of, I am good. And then wait. They're asking me how I am?
Yes. That touched him.
It
clearly
it was
touched
so
him.
Sweet. Deep it was down, a very sweet moment.
Mark Grody cares how I'm doing. That's lovely.
Man, thanks for asking.
Hey, man, I am a huge fan of common courtesy. Like, I'm a common courtesy expert. If somebody says, how are you doing? I will say, well, and how are you doing? So I wasn't going to leave the man hanging. I am there for Maddie. I mean, it's very nice of him to look us in the eyes and ask us questions. Somebody's got to reciprocate, and I feel like that is my job. So thanks to Emma for getting that in.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
That is just
Mark,
wonderful.
Was he making eye contact with you when he said, thanks for asking, I appreciate that?
Did. His head popped back. Yes, he did. He made eye contact with
I love
with
that.
Him.
That's so
his
sweet.
His head popped back up because he's right. Because he wasn't expecting it from us. No. I think he gets the usual cold response.
Yeah. It's his third year here. No one's ever asked him how he's doing.
Nobody's ever asked.
We can't be that cold as a media. I know that we're a force out here. I get it. Yeah. And sometimes it's us against them.
Hey, man,
a little humanity every once in a while speaks.
I'm not surprised that it was you. I'm not surprised that it wasn't Jason Leisure.
I was just going to say, it would never be Jason Leisure.
Or Mark Potash. Because Potsy doesn't care. He wants you to get right to the business.
Potash had a follow-up. Are you sure you're okay after what's been going on with this offensive line? How can you say you're okay?
Listen, why are you okay?
Potsy's probably mad at me for asking him the question.
We don't ask them how they're doing.
Yeah. It was like Potsy, like last year, I think it was Jalen Johnson who brought the media wings out of DeMarcus Walker's grill, and we accepted, and Potsy was just furious with us. He couldn't handle
it. We don't take wings.
Right.
We don't accept. accept wings right. from players.
And Bernstein, meantime, is obsessed with the fact that we were. Yeah, yeah, you heard me. The fact that we all got nice backpacks from the Bears. What do you think everybody in the media did with those backpacks? We gifted them to our nieces and nephews.
Everyone in the media gave their backpack to Adam Studzinski.
And he's got all of them.
Did he get one? Did somebody give him one?
No, probably. He knitted a quilt out of those backpacks so he could sleep in it every night.
I still have my bag. I will, Brody.
Come on, by God! Please tell me you're not eating their food. Also,
yeah, can you believe that, man? There's some free chips out in the media room right now. I might grab a bag of them on the way out of here.
Bring them home. Bring them home.
And what's Dion Miller making lately?
You know what, Dion? Well, she was not out here today, so none of us got the sugar high today.
Damn.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
dude, that's so sweet.
It is really wonderful stuff. Groats, tell us more in terms of Bears Nuggets and the injury report and such like that.
Yes, a couple other things from Caleb Williams. He admitted that he is a little bit bruised up, still trusting the treatment that he has gotten over the last couple of days. That's just from the 7-7. I think he's fine, but he is sore for sure, in case you were wondering. On the two interceptions, Caleb Williams said, two stupid mistakes that won't happen again. I told you, it was a long time ago, that Tevin Jenkins' deep thigh bruise did not practice today. Kari Blassingame knee didn't practice. Zach Pickens' groin was not part of the practice today. And as for Keenan Allen, the indication from Matt Eberflus is that it's up to Keenan Allen. It's about pain tolerance as far as the foot is concerned.
Wow. I'm glad to hear Caleb say stupid mistakes won't happen again. You could tell after the game he was pissed off. That's a guy who threw five interceptions last year and only five the year before that. He's got two already. That's not what I've done. That's not what I do. Those were both short passes, and he's more accurate than that. Historically.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I thought that he sort of looked at the one that he eluded the pressure. I think he sort of looked at that as a free play, and I don't think that, I hate to say it, I don't think that's something you can get away with in the NFL.
I think that's true. Mark Grody, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for all your work.
Thanks for asking, though. Here's the 3-1.
Bears. See you guys.
See you, man. That's Mark Grody. He's awesome. Download the Odyssey app. Search for 670 The Score. Tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haw and Dan Wiederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of the Week 3 game against Indy. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. No surprise that the vultures are circling around the Bears. We discuss next on The Score.
Can we have hard conversations?
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spiegel and Company.
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 Afternoons on the Score.
You know, a lot of times on the outside, it's crisis or carnival.
Crisis or carnival. Goodness, John Fox, it's not nice to hear your voice. It's Spiegel and Company on 670 The Score. So what's going on the outside when the Bears start 1-1, when the offense looks bad? If you look at the latest odds on the first coach to be fired, the third favorite is Matt Eberflus. Plus 650 to be fired. Brian Daboll of the Giants, number one. Zach Taylor of the Bengals at plus 500. That's interesting, as the Bengals, I believe, are 0-2 for the third straight season. But and then you've got, after Eberflus, you've got Robert Saleh, you've got Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys. But there's Eberflus. He's some people's pick to be coach of the year. Me, I was enthusiastic. I'm still enthusiastic. But the offense has to get better, and it's got to get better fast. And right now, while it's not better, that's when people talk about Clint Kubiak or Bobby Slowick Jr. Or if you're Colin Coward, you talk about a college football coach.
I'll just throw this out there. You look at their schedule. If they lose three of the next four games, you will hear Lincoln Riley rumors. I promise you. Now, I don't think Lincoln Riley wants it. He's got a great staff at USC. They're going to beat Michigan. They're going to be 3-0. They're going to be a top 5-6-7 team. He's not going to take that job. That's not a good fit for Lincoln Riley. But this is a quarterback that lives on improvisation. Brett Favre did a lot of it. I'm okay with it. Lamar Jackson does a lot of it. Mahomes early did a lot of it. Kyler Murray this weekend did a lot of it. I'm for it. But those kind of quarterbacks need strong coaching to get structure. And I'm not sure it's in the building.
So they need strong quarterbacks to get structure. Reminds me of Will Hewlett, his quarterback coach, who said Caleb craves structure. Yeah, look, the biggest deal here, obviously, in our moment that we're living with, is Shane Waldron any good? Is Shane Waldron any good? Can he provide the kind of structure that Caleb needs? Can he provide the calm that Caleb needs? Because if he can't, if Matt Eberflus screwed up this hire, I don't think he gets another one. I don't think he gets to hire a second offensive coordinator and give this thing a shot. Like, if the defense is really good, if they're a top 10 defense and the Bears do not make the playoffs and the offense is chaotic and it seems like they're going to fire Shane Waldron, I don't think Eberflus gets to do that again. I think at that point they do go out and they get an offensive coach and try to figure something out that way. But the fact that we're even talking about that is an example of just how fast life comes at you in the NFL. In terms of Coward's comments, Colin Coward's comments, look, he's connected with USC. He's a big USC fan and obviously was connected with Caleb Williams a lot, and we dealt with that whole thing. But doesn't that sound like a big dose of "I'm not saying, I'm just saying" right there? Like, he wouldn't take that job, but those rumors are coming. That's like a guy rumor-mongering about rumors that he expects to be coming. Right. Tanny, can I hear it again? Like, I just...
You don't want to hear it again, but
really
sure.
Don't. No, yeah. I mean, I really don't. You're right.
I'm right there with
you're
you.
You're right there with me? It sounds like, oh boy, this is coming. I'm not saying it, but somebody's going to say it soon. And when they say it, just remember that I told you that they were going to say it.
I'll just throw this out there. Oh, you look God. At their schedule. If they lose three of the next four games, you will hear Lincoln Riley rumors.
Oh, God. I would like to fire his content into the sun. Got to tell you.
His son, Danny Parkins?
I'd like to fire Colin Cowherd's content into his son.
I mean, Colin is doing what he has to do. What? The guy's good.
At what?
At provoking thought.
I thought you left for Fox Sports 1.
No, I didn't.
I mean, no. I just need a lower voice, and I think you did.
I mean, Colin, like, dude, gets it.
That's
Colin
what I'm saying.
Gets it. Like,
didn't you leave?
Like, obviously.
No.
It's like, he loves Chicago. Loves Chicago.
I'm going to say this right now. It's going to take a lot for me to get me to want to hear Colin Cowherd's voice again.
I like him.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, then you can tune in. Because on this show, you can fill me in.
After I call Tanny in the morning to tell him what audio we want to use for the day, I'll call you and tell you what Colin thinks.
I'm telling you that both, you're going to need to sell me over the course of 20 to 25 minutes of meeting time on why I'm going to need to hear Colin Cowherd's voice again.
I'll just throw this out there.
No, yeah, I know. That's what you're doing. Listen, I'll just throw this out there, okay? No, I won't. I'm not even going to do it. Not even going to do it.
No, do it.
You don't want me to do it.
Are you about to propose again for Joe West to be your co-host on the afternoons? Is that what you're going to throw out there?
You know, the problem is he thinks that we are a bad outfit. He thinks that the Score is a bad outfit.
Shane, I don't want you guys to be involved at all in this lawsuit.
Brian Porth and Joe West.
Call me back. I need the transcripts from that day. My lawyer needs them.
I think they're just a bad outfit.
Whatever happened to your relationship with Joe West?
It's now non-existent.
Oh, it's so
sad.
He
and I don't talk anymore because he no longer needs me for his lawsuit.
I'm going to tell you this much. I'd rather hear Joe West on this show than I would Colin Cowherd. I'm telling you right now.
I'll just throw this out there.
Yeah, I know
I think
that.
They're just a bad outfit.
All right, but you can't tell me that Colin doesn't have some kind of background information that maybe the Bears are interested in Lincoln Riley.
No, I can't tell you that. I cannot tell you that.
I think he has that info.
All he's doing is throwing it out there. That's all he's doing, and he's throwing it out there saying he'd never take the job. And I don't believe that he has Bears sources. I don't believe that for one moment.
By the
way,
he does. It's Danny.
Yeah, it might be Caleb. Colin Cowherd mentions Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley was talking about Caleb Williams, said he's got to go back to basics. I think a lot of times the answers you're looking for as a player are right there. You know where he said that? He said it on Colin Cowherd's show, The Herd. That's where Lincoln Riley said that.
Huh.
Yeah. It's interesting. You throw out his name in a rumor for an NFL job, giving him additional leverage in the old Pat Fitzgerald plan, and all of a sudden he comes on your show. How about that? That's interesting.
You're thinking too far into it.
Really?
I think you should honor Colin for what he is.
Or am I?
An incredible media personality.
Am I thinking about it because I know how the business works, Shane?
No. Look. I'm just going to throw this out there, Speaks. Okay. I think you're an absolute lunatic, and you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Come on, dude.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Colin Cowherd doesn't do anything like that.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Gabe Ramirez follows us at 6 o'clock, and I think we should break.
What does that mean?
Okay. I don't know. I don't know.
You know what? I don't want to break.
You don't want to do it?
No, I want to play more Colin of The Herd.
No, I'm good.
Of the Herd fame.
The only way
I do know we have a built-in segment for the show. I'm just going to throw this out there. People can say whatever they want. It could be true or not true.
That's when you'll hear his voice again. It's for the debut of our segment on Spiegel & Company.
I'll just throw this out there.
I'll just throw this out there. I'm looking forward to having dinner tonight. I'm looking forward to my next meal.
Speaking of that, Shane, I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah,
I appreciated Jewel having a halfway to St. Patrick's Day sale. They had corned beef on sale.
Oh, that's
they did have that. Speaks. What are you throwing out there?
That's great news. I'll throw this out. I'm just going to throw this out there. That the only way you hear Colin Cowherd's voice on this show is one of two ways. One is that bit, which will be great. Or two, if he's my new co-host to be announced on
Monday. He's co-hosting with you tomorrow.
He is?
Yeah.
No, let's tell people who is when we come back on 670 The Score.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
It is Spiegel & Company here on 670 The Score. Looking forward to tomorrow. My first time working with a man who is part of the Score family these days. Maybe you've heard his show, The Tailgate, on Saturday mornings. The longtime producer for the Dan Patrick Show, a Chicagoan, Paul Pabst. Paulie from the DP Show, a Southern Illinois Saluki, big-time Cubs fan, and hardcore Bears fan and Bears observer will be my co-host tomorrow right here on Spiegel & Company. That should be very, very fun. Thank you to Mark Grody for joining me on the show today. Thank you to Chris Tannehill for being the sap that he is. And I don't mean he likes the sad music or the sad songs. He's just the senior audio producer. I'd like to thank Shane Reardon, even though today there were no lobster rolls. A day without lobster rolls is a day that is not my birthday.
What do you want tomorrow?
Ha, nothing.
Give me something realistic that I can make you tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I enjoy it.
Oh, no, no, no. We're good. We're good. Let's just produce the hell out of our maiden voyage.
Okay.
Our maiden voyage with Paul Peps. Did Tanny say no?
No. I just thought Wani does like a good smash burger, but I just love the idea of us all eating in front of Paul Peps.
Yeah. I think that'd be nice. That's right. Wani will be here.
Yeah.
I'll think about it, Shane.
Okay.
Let's discuss in the morning.
Give me something.
Okay.
I mean, I live 5 minutes from here now. I've got nothing to do.
I'll just throw this out there. I would like something in a puff pastry.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe a beef bourguignon.
Like a spanakopita, maybe?
Oh, spanakopita.
I just came back from Greece. I don't know if you guys
You know what? Let's do that. Let's do a little Greek. Let's do spanakopita.
No, that's kind of tough.
Some flaming cheese. How about some saganaki?
So they don't actually do that in Greece. They don't let it on fire. That's an American thing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I learned that when I went
to
Greece.
It's sort of like, so you're saying saganaki is the orange chicken of Greek food, essentially?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, I'll come up.
Well, yeah.
Think about something else.
Yeah,
I have your number.
Okay.
Good talk.
Don't call me.
All right. Gabe Ramirez is next. Chicago Gabe, live from 6 to 9. He's got Hub Arkish on the show. He's got much, much more, and he'll be with you from 6 to 9 tonight. Thanks, everybody. Spiegel & Company back tomorrow. Me and Paulie, Paul Peps. That'll be fun here on 670 The Score.
Okay. Good to see everybody. You guys doing okay today?
Yeah.
All right.
How are you?
Good. Doing good. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.